I should like to read with you tonight, first of all, from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, please. Matthew 17 and verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter and James and John, his brother, bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was as white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, or Elias, talking with them. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. When the disciples heard it, they fell on their face, and they were sore afraid. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, please. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Verse 27. Luke 23 and verse 27. And there followed him a great company of people, and of women which bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear, the paths which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? For there were also 2 other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand, and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ. The chosen of God and the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. Verse 41, And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Verse 44, About the 6th hour. There was a darkness over all the earth until the 9th hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Having thus said, he gave up the ghost. I like to look at Matthew's Gospel 17. And Luke's Gospel 24 together. And I like to think of it in this way. If you and I were able to have Peter with us tonight, if we were able to have him once again on earth and bring him to this building and to this platform and question him, Peter would have vivid memories of what took place in both these chapters. We could say to him tonight as he would stand with us, Peter, how's your memory? Do you remember what is recorded in Matthew 17? And Peter would say, Yes, I do. How could I ever forget it? Peter, what happened that day? Well, says Peter, the Lord came and he took me, and he took with me James and John, and he took us up to the high mountain apart. And then we looked at him, and we would say to Peter, Peter, what did you really see? What was his face like? Peter would say, if he were here tonight, his face was shining like the sun. What did the Savior look like, Peter? You looked at him. You saw him when he was transfigured before you. What did it feel like to look at him? And Peter would say, oh, it was a glorious sight. The three of us, you know, we went to sleep. You know the account in Luke's gospel, Peter would tell us. We had actually gone to sleep. And when we were awakened, we looked at him. And his face was shining. I can't explain it to you, Peter would tell us. His face was shining like the sun. We had never looked upon him like this before. Oh, it was wonderful. He looked like the God of heaven. I can't explain it to you, Peter would say. I can't put it into words. My, how he looked that day. His face was shining. He stood before us. What about his garments, Peter? Peter would say his garments were glistening. They were white. They were silvery. His garments, the only thing brighter than his garments was his very countenance. His face was shining out as a searchlight would shine out. Peter would have to say to us tonight, listen, I can't explain to you what it was like. My soul was thrilled. My heart was thrilled. You'd have to see him yourself. But I would say to Peter tonight, Peter, if I could ask him not only what was his face like and what were his garments like, but Peter, what did it seem like to hear him talking to the redeemed, to those who are already glorified, to those who are already in glory? Peter would say, my, I can't explain it to you. In fact, I said some things maybe I shouldn't have said, Peter would tell us. But I looked upon him and I saw the Lord standing there and he was talking to these two and they were actually glorified already. Oh, they were wonderful men. Yes, when they were on earth, Moses and Elijah were the wonderful two of the wonderful men of the Old Testament. Ah, Moses, the leader of the Israel, the one that God chose to lead them through the wilderness to bring them out of Egypt. He was a wonderful man, Peter would tell us. So was Elijah. But Peter would say, I can't explain to you either what it's like to see them not now on earth with their failure and with their sin. Though they were wonderful men on earth, he would have to admit, now I was looking at them glorified. The Lord Jesus in the presence of glorified saints. And they're talking together. And Peter, what were they talking about? Peter would hang his head. And he would say they were talking about Calvary. I want not only to look tonight at the face of the Savior. I want you, my friend, not only to think tonight about his garments. About the glory of Moses and Elijah in the presence of the Lord. But I want you to remember that there was a voice spoke at the Mount of Transfiguration. And Peter, I'm sure, though he were here and though he were able to explain to us in the English language, he would never be able to make it clear to us what it would be like to hear the voice of God. The voice of God saying, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. Oh, what a wonderful voice. And then the cloud that overshadowed them. You'll notice in Matthew 17, it says it's a bright cloud. It's a cloud of light. It's actually Shekinah glory. It's a wonderful cloud. It's the brightness of the glory of God here. But let me ask you something tonight. Why do you and I believe that Peter would have hung his head when we talked about Calvary? Well, I want you to turn over your Bibles to Luke 23, because for the remainder of my part of this meeting, I want to question Peter about Calvary. Oh, I know he was thrilled in the incidents of Matthew 17, But when we come to Calvary's cross, the picture changes. The crowd is crying. And the Lord Jesus Christ bears a cross. Is there a person in our audience tonight and you've never been saved? Is there a young man listening to my voice tonight and you've never been born again? Ah, let me say to you tonight, listen carefully. We're going to talk about Calvary. You can't talk about Calvary until you see sin as it really is. I'll never forget, God saved me at a conference, and I've always enjoyed the fact that precious souls are reached in conference meetings. One night in Elm Springs some years ago, Mr. McGee and I were speaking about the gospel meeting. We were to share it together. And he happened to say to me, "Bill, it's been a while since someone saved in a conference gospel meeting that I've been in." And I had to admit to say. And he said, "Bill Morgan, let us tonight as we stand before this audience remember there may be a soul in the audience tonight and they're going to hell and this may be the last time anyone will ever warn them." I'll never forget that meeting. It was my privilege to open the Word of God to the rich man in hell and speak about his memory. I can remember thinking about that man like Peter. Like Peter, he too had a memory. And as Abraham turned to him, he said, "Son, remember." Oh, there's a lot of things we can remember. My friend, let me ask you tonight, how good is your memory? Remember when you sinned against God and you knew you had sinned? Remember when you bowed your head and you said, "Oh God, don't let me do it again. I would be ashamed if my parents knew what I've done. I would be ashamed if anyone knew." And you know. Oh God, you know. And you said, "Lord, never again." And it wasn't very long before you were in it again. And it wasn't before you sinned some more. And you sinned some more. And you sinned again, and you sinned again, and you sinned again. It's an old story. As faith answers to faith and waters, so the heart of man to man. I know what I'm talking about, because I sinned that way too. Men and women and boys and girls are all alike. There isn't a person in this world can stand before God in his own righteousness, in his own good deeds, in his own works. Oh, my friend, let me say to you honestly and with all my heart tonight, if you don't realize what your sins are doing to you, you'll never be saved. Your sins are taking you to hell. And maybe you're not even thinking about them. Maybe you've never been disturbed. Oh, I say to you tonight, for a moment, let's think about your sins. Where do you stand tonight? You've sinned against God and you know it. You may have had a Christian mother, a Christian daddy. Oh, this happened so many times, over and over again. Then you went to the high school, and maybe now you're a married man or woman. And then you went maybe to a year of college, and then you got married. And you look back on mother and dad and you laughed and you wondered, man, they were so religious. I have a brother like that, remember? Tonight he's a grandfather. Tonight he's a sick man. And only by the grace of God he's in the body. He's had two strokes now. And he's a very sick man. It isn't going to be very long before he's going to be in eternity. And he didn't get saved until about 3 years ago. He got saved in Atlantic in the radio station at the close of the radio broadcast. But what about his life? All through his life he laughed at Mom. All through his life he looked at Dad and he looked at his brothers and at his sister and he thought, "Boy, I'm glad I didn't get saved in Sunday school. I'm glad I was big enough to listen to the people outside." I wish he were here tonight to give his testimony. I'll tell you, he wouldn't be able to give it for weeping. He said to me last year in the city of Cleveland, he said, "Bill, if only I could live my life over again. If only I could look at those people when I was in my teens that laughed at me and laughed at mom and laughed at dad and laughed at the people in the gospel hall and laughed at all the Christians, and I listened to them and I followed them. And he said, Bill, I wasted my life. I'm not afraid to die, Bill. I know Christ. I'm ashamed to die. Oh, could I say to you young people tonight, don't worry about the world that laughs. They'll laugh and they'll laugh and they'll laugh until they go into a lost eternity themselves. Young man, don't go with them. Young lady, don't go with them. Look at the Christian, and let me tell you, the Christian has the best in life. Use your memory tonight and think about your sins and where you're going to be, because if you die in your sins, you'll have a wonderful memory in eternity. I say that kindly. But it's true. The certain night I'm telling you about, at the close of the meeting, Mr. McGee at the conference spoke on the death of David's child, you remember. And at the close of the meeting up in the balcony, there was a fellow crying. That man was a child of Christian parents. That man had lived for the world and for himself. That man had thought that the Christians were just people that just didn't understand what this world had for them. But that night, God got a hold of that man and God saved him. And I'm saying to you tonight, if you're in this company and you've never been born again, I want you to think about your sin. And I want you to come with me to Calvary just for a moment and think seriously about what Peter would tell us of Calvary. Peter, you remembered the 17th of Matthew very well. You saw your Lord, your heart was thrilled. What about Calvary, Peter? Let me ask you, what about the face of the Lord Jesus at Calvary? Peter would say to us tonight, oh, it was so different. On the Mount of Transfiguration, it was shining like the sun. At Calvary, it was marred. You know, they had spit upon him. You know what Peter would say to us tonight? You know, they had not only spit upon him, they had plucked the hairs from his cheeks. You know, he was the one I really loved, Peter would say. I really loved him. But Peter, where were you that night? Well, I was a long way off, but I could see him. I know where he was. But what do you mean, Peter? You were a long way off. Oh, I got pretty cold in heart. And I was ashamed of him. And I didn't get very close to Calvary. They took him up the hill in the morning. They put him on the cross. And his face was so marred. Oh, let me say to you tonight, my friend, you're going to see the Lord. You're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you think so or not. This Bible is very clear, and this Bible is sure about the day you're going to see him. Every eye shall behold him one day. You say, if I die in my sins, I'll see him. Yes, you will. The Lord Jesus is the appointed judge. The Lord Jesus will sit upon the great white throne. The unsaved will stand before him, and you'll see him, and you'll see him in all his glory. And oh, how you'll remember. You'll remember that Peter saw him when his face was shining on the Mount of Transfiguration. And you remember how you read in the Bible that his face was so marred at Calvary. You'll see his face in that day. Not your Savior. Not the one that wants to save you. But as your judge. Oh, could I plead with you tonight to think about eternity? Could I plead with you tonight to come to the Savior while there's time? Oh, my friend, listen, heaven and hell, that's all there is. There is no other place to go. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell tonight. Peter, what did the Lord's face look like? Oh, Peter says, I don't like to remember that day. His face was so marked. Peter, what about his garments? On the Mount of Transfiguration, his garments were glistening. Yes, said Peter. Do you know where his garment was? It was at the foot of the cross. And what were they doing, Peter? They were gambling for it. they were gambling for it. This is all the world thinks about the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the lovely Savior who gave himself at Calvary, the world would crucify him again. The world would do away with him again if they had a chance, but they can't. My friend, this is the heart of man, and we're all alike. Oh, don't tell me tonight about your church going. I come from a little religious town, and let me tell you, the town of Atlantic is so religious, it's pitiful. Don't tell me about your town. Don't tell me about the ordinance you've gone through. We hear it day in and day out in our school. We hear it all the time. When Mr. Graham had his meetings here in Omaha, one of our teachers came down to hear him preach. And when he came back, he sat at the noon dinner in school in the cafeteria with the other teachers. And one of the teachers very flippantly said, "Oh, some of you boys went to church last night." He said, "Yes, we did." And he said, "And what did you hear?" And the history teacher turned to him and he said, "We heard we were sinners and that we needed God's Son or we'd be in hell." And he didn't answer. He was going to be real smart. He was going to make fun of those that went to church that night. He was going to make fun of those who sat in the audience and listened to Mr. Graham tell them they needed Christ. But he got an answer from a teacher who isn't even saved himself. "We're going to hell, and we need to be saved." And he said it so certainly and so real that the other man didn't answer. I want to say to you tonight, my friend, these things are real. Peter, what about his garments? Peter said, "They're at the foot of the cross, and they're gambling for them. The garments that were glistening are being gambled for." Peter, what about the voice? "Well, I heard the voice from the Mount of Transfiguration, and it was so grand, it was so wonderful. But do you know something," said Peter? "There was no voice at Calvary." "No voice, Peter?" "No." "Did you hear the Lord Jesus?" "Yes, I heard him." "Oh, it was so dark. The dark hours of Calvary, the darkness came around the cross. The Lord Jesus was engulfed in the darkness, and it seemed like he could almost feel it," says Peter. "And I heard his voice, and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?'" But didn't the Father answer Peter? No, it was the God of heaven now judging our sins. Don't you see, my friend, the terrific contrast of the two portions? No glistening garments at Calvary. They're gambling for them. No wonderful voice saying, "This is my beloved Son." God turned his back upon the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. All because of your sin. All because of my sin. Let me say to you tonight, as you stand in the shadow of the cross of Calvary, all the things that you held on to for your goodness are gone, are they not? Will you not be honest in the presence of God that everything you and I ever tried in our sins was only filthy rags according to the Bible? We're lost, we're guilty, we're sinful, and we're going to hell without a Savior, and that's where we are. Is it not true? Let me ask you tonight, as you listen to the Lord Jesus cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Let me ask you, why do you think he was forsaken? May your heart tonight in love and adoration to this lovely person answer, "It was for me. Yes, all for me." Oh, love of God, so great. Let me ask you tonight, in the shadow of Calvary, will you not only think of what you are and where you're going, but will you look at the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it a bright cloud at Calvary? No, it is dense darkness. You have a choice tonight to make. You either choose Christ as your Savior, or you go home without him. You either choose the glory and the bliss of heaven and a wonderful Savior to live with you and walk with you and forgive you of all your sin because of the blood shed at Calvary, or you choose your sin. And you make that choice tonight, whether you like it or whether you don't. I sat behind a lady at the night that I was able to attend the Grain Crusade, and I couldn't help but watch her. She was listening, and she was listening very intently to what was said that night, and it was a warning message about sin, and then there was the message, you remember, that God forgave the king that sinned so desperately. As Mr. Green pictured the king sinning against God, and sinning against his fellow man, and even murdering the children of the Old Testament, remember? I saw the tears start to come down her face. There was something very interesting about it all. I could see on the other side of her a lady and a gentleman, and the gentleman was glancing over at her, and he was disgusted no end. They had come in together, the four, an older lady, an older gentleman, herself, and a young man who I presume was her husband. They kept glancing over at her and the tears kept coming down her face. And the longer Mr. Graham preached, the more she wept. And the more I thank God she wept. When the invitation was given for those to come down, she sat still. And I think in my own heart, though I don't know her or know anything about her, I could see within the heart of that dear lady the fight going on, and the older man and the older woman glaring at her now, just as much to say, are you going to get up and make a fool of yourself? The tears kept streaming down. The dear lady, she began to shake. She looked to me like she would be about 35 or 36 years of age. And the man sitting next to her put his head in his hands and he didn't move. Finally, just about the time when Mr. Graham was about to say this was it, she struggled to her feet. And the man next to her, the young man, I presume, was her husband. He stood with her. And they hesitated at the edge of the step. And then they went down. I'll never forget the sight. It impressed me. It really did. And I watched those two walk together, and it's a long way down that place, remember? I watched them walk. I looked at the old man and the gentleman and the lady that was on the end of the seat. I suppose by their looks it might have been mother and dad. And he shook his head in horror. He was horrified that here was someone that came with me that would dare walk down and all in front of all those people with the tears running down her cheeks, and she was saying, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, every step she took. You know, I couldn't help but praise God to see a precious soul that was willing to let the tears flow and willing to stand and say, regardless of what people think, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. This may be your trouble tonight. You're ashamed to stand up. You're ashamed to say, oh God, I'm a sinner. Your old companions will sing and laugh at you. You'll have a good time in the world and you'll follow them and you'll let them keep you from Christ and you'll die in your sins. You'll go to hell because you don't have the courage to stand up and say, oh God, oh God, I'm a sinner and I know it, and I want to be saved. Let me ask you, is there one precious soul in this audience tonight? And you're not saved because you have relatives and friends, possibly a husband or a wife, and they're not saved and you're afraid of what they'll say or what they'll do. When I was a little boy, I was taught to sing a little chorus that went something like this. My old companions, fare you well. I will not go with you to hell. I mean with Jesus Christ to dwell. Let me go. Will you come tonight in all your sin? Will you come to the Lord Jesus Christ who loves you and died for you? Will you bring all your sins He washed them away in His precious blood at Calvary. Will you receive it tonight? The choice is yours. It's yours to make. Almost persuaded we sing, now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive, seems now some soul to say, go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call. Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad the bitter way. Almost at last. I hope not. We pray together tonight that you will not wait another night, but that you'll come just as you are to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him as your Savior.